Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, the 1st of July, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have John Marlaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Glad you're with us. And also today with me, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy July.
I was going to say, usually it's a happy Monday, but yeah, it's a whole new month too. So happy July. The first thing I wanted to talk about, Andrew, actually is with you. You saw an interview that Eddie Q gave, somebody we haven't seen at media events in a while, where he sat down and talked about Apple.
Yeah, so he talked about Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, Steve Jobs a little bit. A couple of things that stood out to me was that there's this report going back a while ago where people were commenting on how maybe Apple TV Plus will be too family friendly and it won't really attract all the people. Mm-hmm. And then there's this thing where people were saying Tim refused some scripts saying they were too mean. Mm-hmm. But Eddie said, no, that's 100% false. Nobody did that. He didn't. Tim didn't say anything about a script.
Okay. So now I think when we discussed this earlier, you had said that Apple had given notes, but that wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't say, you know, what the notes was, but they were, this is too mean or anything like that.
Yeah. So that's good to know. You know, we sort of presumed that there were notes being given, you know, after we heard that story. Like, yeah, they're probably giving feedback, but that did seem a little off. So it was nice to see that was actually true. That was wrong. So
another thing that I thought was interesting. So when iOS 13 was announced and they went through some of the new changes in Apple Music, there's going to be lyrics that are synced to the song, so you can they will appear just like karaoke. I don't remember if they mentioned it or not, but apparently they aren't getting it from a service like Genius. They are finding these lyrics themselves, and they have a whole team of hundreds of people working on that. And the plan eventually is to get lyrics for every single song.
Okay. That was interesting. I don't remember hearing that my phone was getting karaoke mode in iOS 13. And that's a thing I would have remembered. So that seems kind
I'll
of newsy to
me. I'll send you a screenshot. Yeah.
To me, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's all you have to do is tap a button when you play something, and there's this really beautiful like UI that appears where it's like the color thing. I forget what it's called. This is in iTunes where you play music and you can get like color of visual effects to appear on the screen.
Oh,
so it kind of looks like that, where these colors are shifting in the background and they're matched to whatever colors are in the album. So it's really neat.
Okay. So it's like the old visualization stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question about the lyrics. I read that a little different than you. I read that the app is actually spontaneously doing voice recognition.
I didn't see any voice recognition in the interview.
No, it says seeing Apple input song lyrics for each track on the music and sync it so the lines will pop up the music if you so choose, like karaoke. And it's doing so itself manually rather than relying on outside service such as Genius.
Yeah.
And so doing it itself manually kind of sounds to me like the app is figuring out what the lyrics are through from voice to text. It sounds like that to me, which would be really cool.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe they're doing a combination where they'll do the machine learning will generate the lyrics, and then maybe they'll have their human team double checking it to make sure it's correct.
Yes, within their power to do that. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward technology.
I'm
not sure. It's kind of ambiguous how they wrote that.
I would be curious how that worked out like what the mechanics are of making that happen, because there's lyrics in most songs already, so syncing them up would be kind of the interesting piece as far as that goes. So that's so how they do that would be, I think, pretty interesting to find out.
One of the things I thought that was interesting about the interview, Andrew, was that Eddie Q chose to emphasize a lot about the quality, despite this thing about Apple having some super Snoopy ideas that turned out, according to Eddie Q, to apparently not be true. He spends a lot of time talking about the quality of the shows and not a lot of time talking about the quantity, because they're just getting started. And yeah, one of the issues that I've come across in my writing and research is that how are you going to charge people $10 a month or more for just 30 shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish you would have talked about that and whether there's going to be maybe a bundle for multiple Apple services or not. So yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Yeah,
we'll have to wait.
Yeah.
There's... But when you got to go with what you got, and if you don't have a lot of quantity, you got to shoot for the stars with comments about quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of that is, you know, like we've talked about here on the show before, is then what? Like, once I've watched all the stuff they trotted out during the media event for the debut of TV Plus, like, right, what next? And right, particularly because each of the shows that I remember seeing doesn't seem like there would be a lot of overlap. So, like, if you watch the Ron Moore science fiction program, like, what's it going to recommend as the next thing to you? The morning show program that they showed us with Reese Witherspoon? Like, that doesn't seem like... I mean, maybe there's overlap there. Like, I might enjoy both of those shows, but they are not shows that are related in any way besides being available from the same service. So I have a hard time figuring out how Apple's going to keep everybody. So I think that, you know, because like maybe you sign up for a month or two and watch everything and then you cancel. Right. Or, you know, unless I get it for free for a long time, you know, but again, the amount of content, like at this point, not knowing how many episodes anything has or anything like that, you know, it's going to be hard to say. But, you know, if you watch 2 hours of TV a night, you're going to be through everything in Apple's current catalog in 4 weeks, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm just making up numbers.
Well,
but
one of the things we talked about during the morning meeting, Kelly, was a clever bundle where you get Apple Music for $9.99 and you get Apple Music plus Apple TV plus for $12.99. And so the $3 extra doesn't seem like a whole lot to get a little bit.
Right.
And then you won't complain so much about the lack of content, because if you run out of content, you still got Apple Music and 50 million songs.
Mm-hmm.
That could be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, and they're going to have to, because they have to compete with the $7 a month from Apple, from Disney Plus, that basically has everything else I would watch.
We talked about that in TDO, didn't we? About Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, we've been around about it before, and I can't get over, like, basically Disney owns everything, and they want to rent it to me for $7 a month.
Including Hulu.
Yeah, and now Hulu as well. So it seems like Apple basically has to give this away, or subsidize it heavily, at least in the beginning, in order to make sure that they can attract people, right? So they're going to have to throw it in with a year of Apple Music for the first year or something like that, just to make sure that we get that they get any sort of subscriber numbers they can report back.
There must be a lot of internal discussions about this, because when have you ever known Apple to be patient?
Mm-hmm. That'd be a no.
Yeah.
But floppy really drive?
But when you're creating your own content from scratch, you have to think about a decade worth of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the longer term, you know, the longer term implications of that, like, you know, we've created a season of a program. How do we, you know, do we want another season of that program? And what does it look like to make that happen? And, you know, all the kind of stuff that Apple never had to think about before. And part of why I think this keeps coming up and keeps being a thing we want to talk about is because Apple's never been a media company before. They've been a middleman, you know, selling us other people's movies and selling us other people's music. But Apple's never been the one creating it and trying to sell it to us. And so what kind of moves that media division is going to make, like the original content folks, I think is going to be really interesting to watch, partly because that all or almost all came to fruition under Tim Cook. I don't know how much Steve Jobs had to do with any of this kind of stuff, if anything, because we don't know how far back any of that kind of stuff goes.
Remember that comment that was made by the Apple fellow, people who love software should build their own hardware. Mm-hmm. People who love content should make their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's brimming with meaning in the sense that, you know, when you were selling stuff, you were selling other people's wares. And if you enjoy providing that kind of content within Apple TV and iTunes or Apple Music, you should make your own content because you have a stake in delivering good stuff. You want to make sure there's good stuff to choose from.
Oh, sure. And seeing how something like this might work coming out of the current iteration of Apple is the part that I'm going to be the most fascinated to watch. What kind of moves are they going to make? And figuring out what this is going to look like as it evolves, I think is going to be a really fun thing to watch. Just to see how it's handled and how things go.
Yeah. And speaking of a bundle, I was reading over the weekend that Apple News Plus isn't doing as well as I thought. So maybe they can throw that in a bundle to try to get more people to read the magazines.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to be careful because if the bundle price gets too high, it becomes a barrier to entry.
Yeah, but if subscriber numbers are crap for News Plus, then it's a trivial thing to give it away.
I would love, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but I would love an a la carte option where I can pick and choose and combine the services to create a custom bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're going to have to do something like that, where there's like a minimum price or something. So if you only want Apple Music, it's $10 a month. If you only want News Plus, it's $10 a month. If you only want TV Plus, it's $10 a month. Adding a second thing is $3 a month, you know, or whatever. You know, and if you add a third thing, it's another $2 or something. And then
you have to design it so your service revenue grows instead of stay stagnant.
Right. But it's going to have to be a thing where like one service is this much, two services is a little bit more, and three services is a tiny bit more. Like, I think something like that is going to have to be how they do it.
And four services is room service.
Inside
joke between me and Kelly.
I thought four services was Dracula, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, it could be.
So, I think it's, like I said before, I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch, just to see how things turn out. So hopefully we'll find out more about this before Apple has another media event and just says, it's live now. It costs this much. Go get it. Right. So maybe we'll find out. That would be good. In other news today, John, you had an article that you featured in Particle Debris about the evolution of iTunes.
Yeah, it was great. It was William Gallagher at Apple Insider. And he kind of laid out the history of iTunes starting from its launch in 2001. iTunes 1.0, when Steve Jobs introduced it, about how it was simpler than the other MP3 players. And how it evolved and how the Apple Store was thrown in and then how syncing was thrown in and how it became a very complex app to use. We all kind of grew up with it, but if you came to the Macintosh world in 2015, Gallagher points out, you would be very confused by this app.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you didn't even have to come to it in 2015 to be confused. It was like,
well,
it just
of my readers said
got
that
confusing.
It peaked at 10.7. And when 12, I was a little bit annoyed with 11, but 12 really tipped me over the edge.
Same.
And I wrote a review of iTunes 12. It said it was so bad that it should be withdrawn. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And then we all got on the bandwagon about breaking it up. And I linked to your article about iTunes should break up with itself. It just became a mess. This article kind of lays out the good things that Apple did and the bad things that they did. You know, for a company that supposedly loves music and caters to people who love music themselves, it's amazing that Agenda got in the way of a beautiful, intuitive app that allowed people to enjoy their music.
Well, you know, that's the thing that gets me is that people talk about Apple, you know, and what you always used to hear was Apple was about an elegant solution. And they favored simplicity. So there wasn't going to be an extra button or two or six if they didn't need to be there. And somewhere along the line, iTunes became an object example of there's a difference between minimal and obfuscating features that people might actually want to use. Like, I remember when they messed with the mini player window. And now it's a whole separate window, and it's a thing that I find really grumpy making, and it just sort of makes me mad that it's a whole separate thing that I have to worry about and manage instead of just taking the window I have and making it small and putting it in the corner where I can use it effectively. And it makes me endlessly frustrated that this is the way iTunes is. Like, I remember Mr. Kelly, before he switched from Windows to Mac OS, at one point, probably about a year before he actually pulled the trigger, looked at me and said, because he was fighting with trying to do something with his iPhone, and looked at me and said, if you can tell me iTunes is better on your computer, I will switch tomorrow. And I couldn't tell him that. I'm like, no, it sucks just like this on my computer, too.
Like, there's a great quote from Steve Jobs. He's talking about in 2001, he's talking about the other MP3 software apps. And Steve says, quote, if you look at these things, there's something that pops up right away, especially if you're not used to them. Steve Jobs continues. They are too complex. They're really difficult to learn to use. I talk to so many people using them, they don't even know 3/4 of the features because they're too complicated. Unquote. Zing. So let's talk about following in the footsteps and the vision of Steve Jobs. Oops.
Oops. Well, and then, you know, one thing that we were talking about this morning is that the same guy who came over from SoundJam, which was an MP3 player back in the day,
Jeff Robin,
he was hired by Apple, and in early 2000, and he became an Apple employee and has still been there. He's still the guy in charge of iTunes.
Applications at Apple.
Yeah, he's still the person who's responsible for iTunes. And I feel like this is good news and bad news, because now I know who to hold responsible for the reason that I've been frustrated with it all this time. Like, now I know, like, I just need to email Jeff Robin about this, right? But also, like, I feel a little bit like iTunes is one of the things that never really evolved. Right, mail has evolved here and there over time to manage things better, to be more efficient, to be more understandable for people. iMovie, you know, all these other things that come with your computer, and yet iTunes is the one that still is sort of the same, except that they take away stuff people actually like. Like, the column browser is gone, and Catalina is one of the things that I heard, which people really like for browsing music. Column view is gone, and the only reason I know really it is because I know loads of people who use it. So hopefully the feedback app is helping those people.
That's going to annoy me greatly if they don't get around to it. I can understand if it's not in the beta, but if Apple Music is released in final version with Catalina and doesn't have a column browser, I'm going to be very vocal.
Yeah. Apple.com/feedback, people. Learn it, use it, live it, love it, know it. It's pretty important, not just in the betas. You can send feedback that way for all manner of things. Anything that Apple makes, like, you can go to feedback and send them information about it if you want to. The thing that I find that sort of irks me about this is that this is still the guy in charge of it. And so, like, all I can really see on this is that iTunes has gotten bigger and weirder and more confusing, and the stuff that people actually want to use continues to get buried. Like, finding the place where I can just see the music in my library was hard when they rejiggered everything, I think, in either 11 or 12, when it all went wrong.
Yeah, 11 went wrong badly.
Yeah.
Too many tabs, too many pop-ups. You had pop-up on the left, and you had pop-up in the middle, and you had pop-up on the right.
Mm-hmm. And basic things like, I want to make a new playlist, and then, you know, I want to add music to my playlist, and, like, all of that turned into a giant pain in the neck, and it's super frustrating. And as a person who still buys music, and a person who still will rip a disc in order to, because I still buy music on plastic slabs, and want to copy it over to my iPhone because I'm old school like that.
You still do that? Where do you buy them?
What?
Where do you buy music on plastic discs now?
Sometimes from Amazon, sometimes from, like, record shops here in town. There's still a few.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
that's like a physical playlist, right?
Yeah.
A CD?
Yes, basically. Yes.
Cute.
Now I'm gonna have to make one full of MP3s because I have some CDs that are in the shape of records. They have, like, the little label in the middle. Ooh. And the black. Yeah, they're super great. And I'll mail one to Andrew, and he won't have any idea what it is.
Kelly, I read one time in the past, maybe 5 years ago, that the iTunes source code had become too complex and unfactorable.
Uh-huh.
And it was a big project to break it up. Mm-hmm. And they would add things. It was easy to add things, but if you were the project manager, like maybe Mr. Robin was, you had to get authority and funding to form a team and write a whole new app. It was beautifully factored, written in Swift, had a great UI, and then would replace iTunes and do that in a year. And maybe they just couldn't get authority for that.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Marzipan, which became
Catalyst. Yeah.
Emerged, and then they went, end of problem.
Well,
Catalyst will solve everything. So
yeah. See, last summer, that was my hope.
Yeah.
When we still called Art Marzipan, I think on this show, we talked about, I think it was last summer anyway, on this show, maybe it was another podcast, but I was really excited about it because for me, that seemed like a way that they could rescue iTunes from itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because maybe that would make a difference, and maybe it would be something that
on the roadmap long before we even heard a roadmap. Before we even heard of Marzipan, it was probably on a whiteboard somewhere as a roadmap. And if you were in a meeting and you said, "Let's spend $30 million in a year rewriting and factoring iTunes," somebody would just look at the whiteboard and say, "Look, see, the solution's in the future."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that probably slowed things down in 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, I would like if that were true. If for no other reason than maybe that's how this became possible. You know, I don't know. I'm hopeful. And the thing that I wonder about, even though Mr. Kelly is now an Apple user, all of his screens are Apple screens now. I wonder what this means for Windows users. If they're breaking it up on Mac OS, I wonder what that means for what the Windows version looks like. So I think it'll be, I hope that it ends up sucking less on Windows, because Catalyst isn't helping any of the Windows development. So,
yeah.
I wonder if they're going to try and keep pace. So we'll have to see. Maybe that was the tipping point, was once we do all this on macOS, we have to do it on Windows. So it turned out to be something not as useful. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard too much about that in the case of iTunes on Windows and whether it will be broken up too. I mean, I kind of assume it will, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'd sure like it to be, but we'll have to see. So anyway, as we find out more, we will absolutely let you know about it here. So that's going to do it for today. I'd like to thank both of you for being here. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
John, as always, thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. Nice to be here.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.